Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. That's what the shepherds heard from the angels. And these words are so familiar. We've perhaps heard them many, many times before. But let's just think again about how Mary heard these words, because her reaction, her response, is something that can teach us tonight. That she treasured up all these things in her heart, and she pondered them. We'll look at some of the reactions of Mary. The first thing she did was she treasured in her heart these things that were said to her. And I just want to ask if that's something that you do. Are you reflecting on who this Jesus is? Because I don't know about you, but I think there's a lot of distraction. It's, you know, maybe we get a glimpse and then things just move on so fast. That might happen even today. You know, we might be thinking about Jesus for a few minutes and then our attention will just go somewhere else. But Mary was turning things over in her mind. She was trying to understand, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my community? I don't think she really understood what the angel said to her. I don't think she really understood about what Joseph said, because Joseph said that the angel had appeared to him in a dream and said that we're to call him Jesus because he will save the people from their sins. And then the shepherds are saying, but these angels in the sky said, today a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And I just don't really think she had much of a clue what they were talking about. Of course, she would have heard some of the prophecies about how God was going to send a Savior. And I just want to ask, you know, is that something that we are doing this Christmas? Are we thinking about it and turning it over in our mind? Maybe you want to find out more about who this Jesus is, what this Christianity is all about. And I think it happens through dialogue. Do you know what the highlight of my Christmas has been so far? I know it's not Christmas Day yet, but I've bought loads of presents. Family will be pleased to hear that. I haven't checked out the Radio Times to find out what's on. I've not really watched any television yet. But the highlight of Christmas for me so far was spending 2 hours in Starbucks this week. And I didn't really have time, but I said, I want to go because I like this person. They'd written me a letter telling them this year they had had fresh discoveries about God. A light had come to them. I've known this person for a few years, but it was almost like a light had come to them and they were saying things that they were really understanding, maybe for the first time, who this Jesus was. And we sat there in Starbucks with the Bible open, talking about Jesus, and I was just sitting there going, this is fantastic. This is what Christmas is all about. What were we doing? We were pondering. We were turning things over. We were treasuring in our hearts that God has sent his Son. What does Jesus mean to you? Are you turning it over in your mind? Are you exploring it? Are you treasuring it? Because it doesn't just happen through a 10 seconds, I'll give it 10 seconds. You know what it's like on the phone these days? You get these these memes or these Instagrams, and they just kind of move on. You've got 10 seconds. No, you probably need a long time. And Mary took the whole of her life almost to understand what that angel had said to her. I don't think she had a clue in the first few days. Maybe in the first couple of years, she didn't really have much of a clue. But it says that she kept pondering and treasuring, and I want to just, are we doing that? Are we doing that? Do you want to do some pondering in 2023? We've got a course called the Alpha Course, and we take 10 weeks to turn things over in our minds, to ask questions, to debate, and it's a lot of joy because the key to Christmas is Christ, and if you give him time, if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him, or he'll find you. Is usually the way it works. The next thing that happened was they took baby Jesus and to be named, to be blessed, and a most remarkable thing happened. We read about that in Luke chapter 2. It says that there was these two old people in the temple. One was called Anna, and she'd been like praying for years. We're not going to talk about her tonight. We'll talk about Simeon. Now, Simeon had an amazing confidence that before he died, he would see God's promised Messiah. It says that he was a devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and this is what he said. He said, he saw Jesus. He took him in his arms, and he said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." What an amazing thing that is in itself. We don't know when we're going to die. But when we die, wouldn't it be great to die with peace? No regrets. Everything important has been dealt with. This was what he's saying. He says, I can leave this world now because I've seen all that I need to see in this child. This is the promised Savior. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. He's praying to God, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. What he's saying there is that this child is the means through which God is going to bless not only Israel, but the whole world. This child is the instrument through which God is going to rescue the people from their sins, sins which have separated us from God. There's going to be a reconciliation to God, which is going to happen through this child. And Mary and Joseph, it says that they were amazed at what was said about this child. And that's the second time we hear the word amazed. It says, when the shepherds said what the angels had said to them, the people were amazed. But Mary treasured and pondered things up in her heart. But now it's Mary and Joseph that are amazed at what was said about this child. And they must have just thought, oh, this is just getting better and better. You know, we've had the shepherds, and now we've got this amazing prophetic man who's said these amazing things about our son. It just gets better and better and better. And then he said, this child is destined to be the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. And the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Oh, doesn't sound quite as good now. It was just going along so well there. It was just like, oh, it's just getting better. What? He's going to be spoken against. So he's not going to be really popular. I thought if he was God's chosen one, the one that was going to come and rescue, the one that was going to be the king, wouldn't people just be so delighted and just praising him? No, that's not what's going to happen. He's going to be spoken against. He's going to be bitterly opposed. Because in this kingdom that Jesus brings, there's another kingdom, Satan's kingdom, which is absolutely against him. And it's going to be a great battle and a great struggle. But it's not all gloom and doom. You know, there's going to be a falling and a rising. There's going to be a choice. There's going to be a division. Some people will be against him. Some people will be for him. Many hearts will have their thoughts revealed. Because when Jesus spoke, God spoke. And he spoke challenge and comfort in equal measure to the broken, to the humble, to those lost and looking for hope. He spoke comfort and gentleness. To the arrogant and to the proud, he spoke challenge. And he warned of judgment, and he spoke of salvation. This is getting more complicated, isn't it? This Jesus is a more complicated character than this little sweet baby in the cradle. But then Mary is hearing, and a sword will pierce your soul too. Does this mean that this child, this son of Mary, is going to read her thoughts? That he's going to speak comfort and challenge to her as well as to others? And are we willing to receive this Jesus tonight? This Jesus that not only brings comfort, but brings challenge. But that challenge is truth. And when God's truth comes to us for the first time, sometimes it's really uncomfortable. Because he shows us where we need to change. And if we have a true encounter with the living God through his son Jesus, it will be like a sword going into our very heart and prizing open all the selfishness, all the wickedness that's in there. That's certainly what happens to me. But it's not because he's against us, it's because he's for us. And although in that moment it feels like we're dying, we're falling, he then raises us up again. Mary probably had no idea what Simeon was on about. And as they were walking home, I wonder if they said, what was he on about? He said that this son of ours is going to be the one through whom God is going to save the world. But a sword is going to pierce my heart too. What does that mean? Well, she saw him being opposed. She saw him being crucified. She was there. She was there, and she saw her son look down at her and say to John, "Behold your mother." And she said, Jesus said to her, "Behold your son. Look after my mum." That's what he said from the cross. Look after my mum. He died on the cross for all of our sins. He died in our place. He took the penalty in our place so that we would not have to die, that we could live forever in God's presence. That is what it meant when the angel said to Joseph, "You shall call him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." And that is how she is able to say, "My Savior, my spirit, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." But you know, after Jesus rose from the dead, it tells us in Acts of the Apostles that they were praying constantly. They were praying constantly, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And then Peter, the apostle, the one who denied Jesus three times, he got up and he said, "This Jesus, whom you have crucified, is Lord and Christ." He is the Savior of the world, the promised Savior. He's the one that came to save. That's why he died on a cross. But because he had no sin in him, death could not hold him. And he has risen from the dead. And the crowd, there were thousands of people there, and they were amazed and perplexed. Again, they were amazed at what they heard. And they were perplexed, and they were pondering. And they said, "What should we do?" And how were they feeling in that moment when it was revealed to them by Peter that this Jesus who was crucified is the Lord of all the earth? It says that they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. And I pray tonight for you that you may have that experience too. That this Jesus, that you will know him in all his comfort and in all his challenge. But in his challenge for us to change, but not only the challenge for us to change, but to give us the power to change. And that only comes when he comes into relationship with us. Do you recognize him? Like Simeon, can you recognize him for who he really is? Will you receive him? To all who would receive him, to those who would believe on his name, his powerful name, the name that's powerful to save, he gives the right to become children of God. Do you recognize him? Will you receive him? And will you rejoice in him? You see, joy is not something we can work up. True joy is not something we can work up. I cannot flick a switch here tonight and that somehow joy will happen. That's not within my power. But I remember one Christmas, as a student, cleaning my bath, or should I say our bath. It was a really grimy bath. I'm not sure if it had ever been cleaned before. It probably had, but it didn't look like it. And as I was cleaning the bath one Christmas in Edinburgh, I was listening to Handel's Messiah. There's not a lot of students do that, is there? And the song that came out on Handel's Messiah was, "He was despised, he was rejected." And as I was cleaning this bath, I started to cry. I started to cry. That Jesus, precious Jesus, had to die for my sins. You know, I shed a little tear tonight as that video came on. I didn't cry in the days leading up to the service, but tonight it just hit me that this Jesus, that man who I met on the street, doesn't know is so amazing. Look what he's done for us. Do you want to know him? Are you prepared to allow him into your life, to challenge you, to change you, and to give you joy? Unless you're prepared to allow him to challenge you and change you, you won't experience true joy. But you'll have it as a byproduct. The tears in that student flat turned into praise. And that's where we want to go this Christmas, isn't it? We want to go into praise because we know how much, I know how much I'm a sinner, how much I need a Savior, how much I need the joy of forgiveness, how much I need the joy of the Holy Spirit. Do you need that too? Shall we pray? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you are merciful and gracious. We thank you that you love us with an everlasting love, that you would love us so much that you would send your Son to show us how to live and then to die in our place. Thank you, Jesus. Come and comfort the broken. Give hope. Gentle Jesus, with your tender heart and gentle touch, would you bring hope and restoration tonight and the reassurance of your presence? Emmanuel, come to us, we pray. You love us too much to leave us as we are. Come and change us. Come and change us. May it be according to your word. Help us to be like Mary, to be willing to be led. Willing to be led into paths of righteousness. Into paths of joy. You have shown us the pathway to joy. Take our hand, Lord, and lead us there tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.